Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. Four really good fights to look forward to this weekend in the company of Steve Bunce. And we're going to have a look back briefly as we can, on Karl Froch's career. Steve, welcome along as usual. It's good that he's retired, isn't it? it feels good as a boxing fan that he's gone out of the top. I know he wanted that one big fight in Vegas, but still, the big question is, if you were a betting man, will he ever fight again?
No, I don't think he'll fight again, although he did tell me yesterday that if the right offer came along, he'd have to think about it. Yeah. If the right offer, it would have to be stupid, serious, ridiculous money. The problem is that even if he said, I'm going to fight again, it won't be till next May in an outdoor arena. So that would put him out of the ring 2 years.
Yeah.
In all fairness, Lee, we've been very strong since very early June 2014 last year, a couple of days after he knocked out George Groves. And I've been fairly strong saying, I don't think he'll fight. Two things. I don't think there's the motivation there. And I don't think there's the money there. And both of those things are necessary for Froch. He's got nothing to prove, and he can take insults. He's got big, thick shoulders. So I don't think we'll see him come back. And if we did see him come back, I think it'll be a disaster. I really do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Fingers crossed he does. And as you said before, he's got plenty of interests professionally outside the ring as well, with property and obviously his growing family, which he dotes on. And it's good, it's good that he's done everything that he needs to do, hasn't he? Maybe short of fighting Joe Calzaghe. I was intrigued by the bit of fun that those two had over the last couple of months still.
If
De Niro and Stallone can fight at their age, maybe Joe Calzaghe and Froch could get it on in a few years. Time, who knows?
Yeah, listen, there is that possibility. In fact, his wife Rachel is about to have their third child in September. He's got unbelievable property portfolio, and he's got a full-time gig now with Sky, which will basically keep him busy for 50 or 60 nights of the year. Not nights each year until 2022. So, yeah, that takes him up to early 40s, really. He's 38 now. Every day that goes, there's less chance of him coming back. The less relevant he becomes, and I mean that nicely.
Yeah, and as he self-deprecatingly keeps mentioning to everyone now that he did fight at Wembley in front of 80,000 fans, of course, as well, didn't he? Yeah,
absolutely.
But a superb fighter, Bunce. I mean, we've said it's almost we've said it so many times, but that run of fights, Bunce, the toughness he has shown, not only in the ring, but to continually get himself ready for such huge fights, the mental strength as well as the physical attributes that he's got, and the will to win. He will be remembered as one of the all-time British boxing greats, won't he?
Yeah, so certainly in the last 25, 30 years in the top five or six, and then so in the last 50 odd years in the top sort of 10 or so. I mean, it was a sequence of fights that we'll never see again, and I'll explain why. Karl Froch listened only to Karl Froch. He told the people around him what he wanted. No manager now, no promoter now, no one TV company now would allow that sequence to happen. Because you invest your money in a fighter, you get into that championship stage, and then you want to cash in. Of course, what happened with Karl is that once he started that run of fights, he actually had them on four different channels. So you have a situation when there's no one person at four different channels, two managers, two promoters. So, if he was coming up now and he was, say, with Frank Warren on Box Nation or with Eddie Hearn on Matchroom, I assure you he wouldn't have that run of 12 fights.
No.
The first fight starts on ITV. The next fight is actually online, showed late, delayed on ITV4.
Yes.
And then the next three or four fights are on primetime. Then the last four or five are on Sky. I can assure you that it will never happen again. Because what promoter would let his guy go in 12 fights like that in 5 years? It won't happen.
Yeah. No.
I can tell you that now. It'll never happen again.
Yeah, happy retirement to Carl Froch. So let's have a look at the boxers who are still playing their trade then. We'll start off with David Price in Germany on Box Nation. This is a fight against Erkan Tepper, whose record reads 14-0, nine stoppages in that record. He's 33 years old, 6'5", he measures, the German. Been pretty inactive, really, over the last few years. He was fighting and beating Marty Rogan and Michael Sprott in 2013, fought once in 2014, and he's already fought once this year in March when he beat Johan Dupas in 12 rounds, unanimous decision.
That was over 12 rounds.
Yes, that was over 12 rounds. David Price, four wins now since his double nightmare against Tony Thompson, when his whole world seemed to be caving in. But he's beaten Rosinski, Paya, Zavarotsini, and his most recent win was against Beto Costa Jr. when he won in six. I'm never sure now where we are with David Price. Once he's as confident as he ever was. He's from a betting point of view, he's a big favourite here, 2-7 with Tepper 13-5. It's obviously in Germany. Is there any value in the German? He's never been beaten yet.
No, listen. The value in the German is he's unbeaten. He's fearless. He's reckless. There's a merry-go-round just one stage up from this, where you make an awful lot of money as an opponent. And that makes him dangerous. The German by stoppage, I don't know what odds those are. That's the bet here. You know, this is Price's test. He's had those four fights. The last loss to Thompson was over 2 years ago. Over 2 years ago. Okay, that's what you have to remember here. Such a long time ago. The 6th of July, 2013. Now, there's rebuilding and there's rebuilding. I would argue that's 2 years. 2 years and a week. It's time to prove that he's back, or something's back, or he's nearly back. And Tepper will test him. I'm convinced of it.
Mm.
Tepper will test him. And Tepper will want to test him. Tepper's not going to go out there and try and box. Tepper's going to go for bust. Rightly so. Because if he manages to smash David Price, Tepper puts himself in a position for a call-up against somebody. Maybe he gets Joshua, good money. Maybe he gets the winner of Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury, good money. Maybe he gets David Haye in a return, who might end up doing a deal with a Sauerland. Maybe he puts himself on the Deontay Wilder list. All of those fights pay a lot of money. So that's why Tepper's dangerous here. Pricey, meanwhile, will have to show that he's recovered after 2 years and a week since the last of those two shocking defeats. Pricey will also need to make a statement to say, I'm back. I'm back where I should have been a year ago. I want some of those big fights. So it's pressure on both of them. It's not going to go to points. I don't think it's going to go to eight rounds. Tepper's the bet. I just fancy Pricey. I think Pricey's under pressure, and I think he's going to perform.
It's 8-13 for David Price to win by stoppage. 3-1 for the German Tepper to win by stoppage. So, take your pick on those two, but from what Bunce is saying, don't go on the points, go on the stoppage. So 8-13 for David Price if you think he can get it done. 3-1 for Erkan Tepper. Scott Quigg faces.
When there's things at stake in heavyweight fights, they go quick.
Yes, indeed. Some other cracking fights to look forward to. Scott Quigg and Ant Crawler in action. Let's have a look at the Carl Frampton fight, first of all, though, Bunce. Yeah. He's fighting Alejandro Gonzalez Jr., who's got a fantastic name, and he's got a big price next to him as well. 14-1 to beat Frampton, who's 66-1 on Bunce.
How's that a world title fight? How's that a world title fight?
Well, as usual, you have to look at the bookies odds rather than the actual fight to kind of get an idea of whether it's a decent fight or not, I suppose. I mean, Gonzalez Jr., 25-1-2, his record. This has been staged in Texas, isn't it?
In El Paso.
Yeah, Don Haskins Conventional Center.
Bizarrely, it's the two-parter. This is the fights in the afternoon. There's more fights in the evening.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, if you buy a ticket for the evening show, you can get into this 2-for-1 or you get into this free. It's some sort of deal like that. It's a really bizarre thing. Carl Frampton's last two fights have been watched in Belfast by 30,000 people.
Mm.
Couldn't buy a ticket for love or money. You had to sell your granny. Now he's going to be fighting in front of, I'll tell you what, I bet you there's not 1,000 people inside the arena. Against a guy who 18 months ago was 10 pounds lighter. So it's a bizarre one. And it's all to do with this Al Haymon character who's taking over boxing in America and buying up fighters. He bought Deontay Wilder. He managed to acquire James DeGale the other week, and he's done a deal with Carl Frampton. Terrific for Frampton. He's probably making more for this fight than he made for his last two world title fights in his hometown. So go figure how that works. Mm. That's how crazy boxing can be. Frampton has to be too strong for Gonzalez. It's indoors, not outdoors, so there's no danger with Frampton frying like his manager, Barry McGuigan, did all those years ago. Frampton in 5 or 6. And even though it'll be shown live on different regions of ITV in this country, I think, and I'll be honest with you, I can't work it out how a guy goes from fighting outdoors in front of, 18,000, 19,000, then indoors in front of 10,000 in his beloved home city, to fighting in the afternoon in a backwater in Texas in the summer. I can't, Lee, for the life of me, I can't work it out. And that just shows you that it's all about money. Carl Frampton is there because he's being paid a lot of money. It's as simple as that.
Frampton,
as
you always say, it's that business, isn't it? Frampton in rounds 4, 5, or 6 is priced up at 5-2. So just by stoppage, Frampton is 6-1 on. So you can see how big a favourite he is. If you want to go individual rounds, round 4 is 8-1, round 5 is 8-1, and round 6 also 8-1. So is round 7 as well. So all the prices available there on the website for that one. A codable bill, if you like. Scott Quigg, Kiko Martinez fight, and Darlis Perez against Ant Crawler at the MEN. Let's look at Quigg Martinez first of all. There's a bit of common ground there between Quigg and Frampton when he fights Kiko Martinez, who of course lost twice to Carl Frampton. Quigg is 1-5 to win this one. Martinez is 7-2. Martinez record 32-5-0. Hasn't fought since December 2014. Quigg 30-0-2. Big favourite here, Quigg Buncey. Justifiably so. I mean, obviously Martinez is a great name, isn't he? Is he getting to the stage where he's a very, very, you know, a high level opponent now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was stopped by Frampton 2.5 years ago. You know, I know he took Frampton a distance in the world title fight, which was in front of 20,000 people outdoors whenever it was September whenever it was last year. I think it's a test in the sense he's a good name. Quigg denies he's trying to measure himself against Frampton. Well, that's rubbish. It's a tricky old fight for Quigg in many ways because he can bang Martinez. He can still bang. He's not an old man. He's still only 29 now, although he seems to have been around forever. And I think Quigg put himself in a tricky position. If Quigg wins comfortably on point, people will say, well, Carl did that, but he stopped him first. If Quigg stops him early, people will say, yeah, but Carl's bashed him up twice. He's got nothing left. It's an interesting one. What we need here is Martinez to get beat for the sake of British boxing to make it entertaining. If Martinez gets beat, Quigg wins, and Martinez says Carl Frampton is A, better, or B, worse than Quigg. You need something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's down to Martinez. This is a fight that's based around a post-fight conference. Hopefully Martinez gets out the ring and says, Scott Quigg, the best fighter I've ever met. He'll knock Frampton out in a round. Or it's a close decision, and Martinez says, you're joking, Carl Frampton's a million times better than Scott Quigg. That's what we want here. We want to know what happens afterwards. I fancy Scott Quigg wins. I think it'll be a lot harder than we expect. What's interesting about Scott Quigg, okay, is that he's now had 7 so-called world title fights, 2 draws and 5 wins, going back 3 years. He was the interim champion. It's been upgraded to the regular champion. This is part of the WBA's comedy that they keep going. He's a terrific fighter, and really, him and Frampton should be fighting on Saturday evening, either outdoors in Manchester or outdoors in Belfast. Let's put it that way. It's that simple. You know, we hear this offer, we hear that offer. The bottom line is the two of them aren't fighting. Let me tell you something. If Scott Quigg or Carl Frampton were Carl Froch, the fight would be happening.
Yeah.
If Carl Froch was a super bantamweight, he'd fight Scott Quigg. If Carl Froch was a super bantamweight, he'd fight Carl Frampton. That's a fact. Absolute, nailed on, 1,000% fact. Forget what promoters, TV companies and managers say. Carl Froch if he was one of these two simple bantams, would have to fight the other guy. Simple as that. They're not fighting each other, and everyone's wrong. How can that be? Everyone is wrong. Everyone that's in the Carl Frampton business, according to everybody in the Scott Quigg business, is wrong. Everyone in the Scott Quigg business, according to everybody in the Carl Frampton business, is wrong. They can't all be wrong. They can't all be wrong. Yeah. Someone has to be right. So if Eddie Hearn says there's X amount of million, and they say no, there isn't, well, it's called lying. It's what's going on here. Why haven't we seen this fight? And Carl Frampton talking about going on to bigger and better things is fighting in the afternoon in Texas. What, you know, not a lot in boxing makes sense, but this ongoing charade with the super bantams, these two, is just comical. And what happens is the public, the general public, not the hardcore boxing fans, the general public, these two keep on flying under their radar.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah, if you stop someone in the street, they wouldn't be able to tell you about these two, would they?
Yeah, so I fancy Scott Quigg. I think he's going to get to him in about 10 rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's going to get to him. I think it'll be a good fight until then. So yeah. Quigg in about 10.
Well, Quigg by stoppage is 9-4. So just over the 2-1 mark that for a stoppage from Quigg. The bookies think that he'll win it in a decision, because that's 4-5. That's odds on, the decision. So the total rounds, you can bet on that as well. You can have a look at whether it'll be a points decision or not. Quigg is 1-5 to win the fight, as I said. Martinez 7-2. The fight to go the distance, yes, is 4-7. No, 5-4. So if you just don't think the bell will sound in the 12th round, then you're getting an odds against price there of 5-4 for the fight to finish before the final bell in the 12th. Interesting fight, that one, Buncey.
It is. It's a great fight. Yeah. Great build.
As is this one. The Anthony Crawley's return, of course, 7 months after that horrific attack that he suffered when he chased after some burglars and came off much worse. Great to see him back in the ring, of course, and he was ready for a world title fight then. Obviously, it had to be postponed, and he's back in the ring now against Darlis Perez, whose record reads 32-1-0. The one defeat coming against Eurikas Gamboa. He's the favourite here, 4-7 to beat Ant Crawler, who's 6-4. 18-1 the draw here, Buncey. Would you have liked to seen him in the ring once before this?
No, yes, in an ideal world, but we don't live in an ideal world. No. So you step off the roller coaster, and he doesn't come back for an awful long time. So he had to take it this way. I think this is a really hard fight. I don't mind that drawn decision. That's not a bad price.
Right.
They'll draw. I mean, I do. I'm tending to fancy Crawler on points. I think the sensible bet is Perez on points, on the honest truth. But I'm, you know, my heart's telling me Crawler on points. Mm. But, you know, I think the sensible bet here is Perez on points.
Yeah, 6-4 the price for that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone gets a stoppage. I don't think there's anything wrong with Crawler. I just think it's a bit of an absence. You know, he's been out a while. Last fall, whenever it was, November, whenever it was last year, if I'm not mistaken. So that's not the end of the world, to be honest. If he came through that bad period a couple of years ago when he lost a couple and drew and stopped, in fact, by Derry Matthews. He's come back from that. He's had good wins since then. I just think that this fight, if he hadn't had the injury in November and this fight was in January, I think I'd fancy him slightly more. But I just fancy Perez on points.
Yeah, Perez, so 6-4, Perez to win on points. Crawler on points is 9-4. The stoppage price is Perez by stoppage is 9-4, and stoppage by Crawler is 7-1. So again, interesting fight. Will the fact that obviously it's a home crowd and home judges, does that make any difference, do you think, Buncey, to the if it goes the distance? I'm not suggesting that there's any ulterior, but it can make a difference, can't it? Home crowd.
Of course it can, and anybody that tells you it doesn't mean, see, people forget.
I'm not saying anyone's cheating, obviously. Yeah.
No, listen, so far in the last 60 years, we haven't found anybody that's actually taken an envelope with cash in it as a judge. However, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of instances of A, incompetence, and B, judges being biased only because they're swayed by crowds. And they always tell you they're not, but then there are decisions where it happens. Okay, the judge, I'll just go back to Carl Froch, the judge who with 10,000 Danish fans, most of them wearing fake Viking helmets, screaming in Hernig near Legoland, where Lego was founded in Denmark, when Carl Froch first bought Kessler. The 10,000 fans influenced. Did they influence the result? Probably not. But did they influence the judge who made it, scored it 9-3 in Kessler's favour? Yes, they did. I thought Froch just lost that by a round or two. It was dead close. 5-7, maybe. 6-6, and you sort of maybe swayed towards Kessler. It was a tight fight. 9-3 was an insult. That was influenced by the 10,000 people. No one gave that judge an envelope. No one threatened that judge and held his wife for ransom whilst he was scoring the fight. It happens. It's human nature. Now, the three judges sitting down in Manchester are going to have, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 fans in there to a person cheering Crawler on because of his great story. And it's his hometown. I've got to tell you, in a tight fight, that counts. That's why we pay all this money to get fighters at home. That's why we do it.
Bunty, it's been a pleasure as ever. Enjoy the boxing this weekend, and we'll speak to you ahead of the that big haul bill.
Oh, yes, we will. Lee, thanks very much. Speak to you then.
Cheers, Bunty.
Top man, Lee. See you, boy.
Thanks, mate. See you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.